Welcome, everybody, back to Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP, the soul in sports. And it is I, your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, like my Lord and Savior above me, I am hardcore people. But first, the particulars, 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter at Soul in Sports, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, Sports. Also, my namesake, I am loud, I speak loud. I spell it with three X's, because fellas, if you're not making it loud, you ain't doing your damn job. On the Twitter as well, 1340 AM Fox Sports, and also the iTunes podcast availability also at Fox Sports 1340 AM. But people, as always, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it this way. PBC on Fox, it's about to go down. Friend of the program, Deontay Wilder, is on slate tomorrow night on Fox TV, guys. Watch this fight as the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, takes on Gerald Washington, 18-0, with 12 knockouts, with the champion 37-0. 36 knockouts coming back to try to unify the titles this year. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NBA trade deadline, it has come, it has passed, and damn it, no big names went anywhere. We got all hyped. We got all excited. I mean, I literally sat there and watched an hour-long free agent trade deadline special. I did, thinking maybe Paul George, thinking maybe Carmelo Anthony, right? I said Christina Mello on purpose because lately he's been acting like Christina Bosch and Donna Wade in New York. Or has his owner or president of operations, Phyllis Jackson, been acting like the woman here? I don't know. You tell me. Also, Ben Simmons out for the year for the Philadelphia 76ers. Something we kind of maybe expected, but some also want to hope to see he would play this year with the Phenom rookie and Embiid. Also, lock it up this weekend. Torture Guy on slate. Hour of power pretty much in sports. BDSR Networks. You know where to get to fix that. Welcome to the program as always. My co-host from here in Richmond. That's Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. Mr. CEO himself. Proud new papa. What's going on, Micah?
I'm still so tired, but man, I could not miss the games last night. They kind of had me wired. You know me, I'm a casual basketball fan, but trust me, man, something that you got to understand, those games last night, I was enjoying myself, especially because it came out the trade deadline and all kinds of little special things were happening, and I was like, basketball's fun. I need to watch it more often again. I enjoyed myself, you know, I've been doing my thing. But I heard through the grapevine Brandy was Brandy with Facebook Messenger chat, but still through the grapevine that you have a fantastic day, sir, and I'm glad you have. So how are you on this Lock It Up Friday?
On this Lock It Up Friday, I just locked up a new car for the house for the wife, Chrysler Town and Country. Listen, fellas, you know you have made it to the married life when you're not shopping for Mustangs anymore. You're shopping for a nice mommy van. Well, I like to call it the Papa van. Forget the mommy van, damn it. It's the Papa van. But also, welcome to the show, my partner sitting to the left of me, because we're going to WrestleMania, baby! What's going on? Hugo!
Lock it up, those WrestleMania tickets, Mike. We are going to WrestleMania, and we're going back to the promised land where we made Daniel Bryan who Daniel Bryan is. What's going on, Mike?
Yes, the home of the Yes Chant, baby. We birthed it. What will we birth this year? That is the question. Phyllis Jackson Vaughn, like that one. I mean, what else can you call her? Or call him. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do, people. Listen, I'm not questioning his sexual orientation. I'm questioning the fact that he's soft like a woman. And I'm not saying soft like, because like China was hard. But China was a woman. May she rest in peace, right? Women in general are softer than men. It's what they're made of, sugar and spice and everything nice. We're made of frog and snails and puppy dog tails, right? Which, by the way, makes us all animals, right? But anyway, as we go into this Lock It Up Friday, I do want to start where I want to begin at here, and that is with the NBA trade deadline. Probably the biggest trade that happened, obviously we talked about it on Monday's show, was the Pelicans acquiring Boogie DeMarcus Cousins from Sacramento. My Chicago Bulls have got rid of Doug McDermott. I'm sorry, only my wife can understand what the night felt like when we drafted McBuckets. Oh, my wife, testify. And we lost Taj Gibson as well. Cleveland are as poised, if you depend on what, you know, just in the Fox Sports Zone, Chris Broussard, you listen to him, listen, the Cavs can be just where the Warriors are in his opinion by picking up guys like, are you ready for this? Darren Williams released. Dallas, as well as the Sixers trade Norris Lowell, which I didn't like that pick at all. Get rid of Okafor. Don't get rid of Norris Lowell and get something back for Okafor. But they get Bogut, which we believe is going to be bought out of his contract today. Starting with you, Micah, your take on this whole NBA trade deadline, because I won't lie to you, brother, I was locked and loaded like it was Sunday morning on Easter.
Well, you know, here's the thing that gets me confused about the NBA trade. When I watch NFL trades, it's very, very upfront. You know, it's very direct. You know, say, I get this guy for this, and this guy, or this prospect, or this draft pick, whatever. It's pretty straight up. Baseball, same thing. You know, trade a player, money, you know, prospects, stuff like that. NBA confuses the heck out of me because there's sometimes when there's 15 teams involved in the trade. There's 15 teams involved in the trade where one guy is going to one other team. And I'm trying to figure out why there are four other teams involved in this one trade between these two teams. So when it comes to the NBA trading itself, I'm confused.
Why? Well, I'm sorry. Let me just step in there real fast.
Process. They're like Bloody Divas when it comes to trading.
Oh, no, not the Bloody Divas. But did I do okay, Magic? I will never forget the 1991 finals with the Bulls. He did like an and-one. He went to Magic with his hands by his mouth. I'm like, did I do okay, Magic? Here's my thing why I like the NBA trade deadline better than the NFL trade deadline. Because the NFL trade deadline, you're not ever, because you're going on a list, going to get a top name being moved. You're just not going to do it. So the NFL trade deadline to me is worthless. I like the NBA. I like NFL free agency. That's exciting for the first week and a half. But the NBA, you have the potential, which we saw an all-star going and being traded. At this point, we welcome in Wally to the program as well, NBA aficionado like myself. Trade deadline doesn't live up to the hype, or did it for you? Not for me.
Say it one more time. I didn't hear that last part.
Trade deadline. Did it live up to the hype for you?
No, because I thought Melo was getting traded.
Right.
All that talk was for nothing. Paul George, I get why he didn't get traded. I still don't think he's going to leave. Well, I just don't think Paul George is going to leave. to be honest with you. But the Melo thing, I thought that's a given. It's a bad situation. Phil Jackson seems like he doesn't want him there. Why have him there? And the team's not winning. I thought that he should have been traded. If Melo ain't got traded, regardless of what team, Cleveland or whoever, then I look at it like, all right, well, this is, you know, it's worth it. You got a big star leaving New York and going somewhere else and maybe making the team better. But him staying in New York, I thought that was just a waste.
Well, Boogie Cousins wasn't. I mean, that was unexpected.
I mean,
that
was unexpected, but I got it. I mean, because obviously, Boogie Cousins is a. Well, we talked about this on the show. He's a talent. He's one of the more talented big guys and a big man in the league. But he's a problem emotionally. I mean,
yeah,
everybody can be mad at Sacramento and say like, all right, well, you let one of the best players in the league go. True, they did, but at the same time, that he's a headache, and we all see it. Them technical fouls. He fights his teammates like physically. I'm not talking about verbally, physically. He fights people outside of Sacramento. He's a problem, man. And like he's a problem. And I love Boogie Cousins. Everybody knows I love Boogie Cousins. I'm just being real. Like they got rid of him because they needed to get rid of him. It wasn't really about we need to bring a star here. They just wanted to get rid of him. To be real with you. And they did it. But Melo, to me, is a player of impact because Melo, he's a long-time vet. That's amazing to call him a long-time vet. Skilled player and a scorer. And he could help us. He could help a franchise win games right now with the right players around him. And I'm just surprised in a situation where everybody is like dislikes him from the fans, from the front office. Seems like they don't want him there, and he's still there. Like, that amazes me.
Well, I look at it like, as we bring in Huggle here down there in Miami, nothing big happened out of there either. But I got the excitement for Melo. I think a lot of fans watching with all the you know, as the ball turned in New York with everything going on with the owner, would maybe expect something to happen there, and it didn't. So from that standpoint, I got to say, yes, it was a letdown. It was a letdown purely because that put us excitement thinking Melo would be moved. And uh-huh. Then when that kind of cooled down, we started hearing the Paul George talk. I know out of Philadelphia, WHIP 610 Radio in Philadelphia's own Anthony Gargano was saying it was a strong possibility with the Sixers making that move. I got excited. And then I saw them move Noel, and I said, well, they're not getting Paul George from, you know, you move yeah. Okafor in my position. I followed him in high school, being from the Chicago area. Being a Duke hater, I followed him at Duke. I told Sixer fans, my cousin, most importantly, I don't like him. Okafor's lazy. He's a lazy basketball player. When I mean that, I mean anytime you're six and you don't average more than 7-8 rebounds, in my opinion, you're horrible. You're 6'8". A rebound comes to your hand automatically, in my opinion.
I like Okafor. I'm glad they kept Okafor, to be honest, which is with a mixture of what they do have. I'm not agree. He's not a great defender. I mean, you'll never hear me call him a great defender. But everybody likes Boogie Cousins, and Boogie Cousins ain't a good defender. But you know what I mean. So, but he can rebound.
I don't need him to defend. I need him to freaking get on board. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's you're blessed. You have Embiid now, so he can do that. But Okafor is one of the most skilled. Well, my problem with Noel, Nerlens Noel, it wasn't he's an athletic big, but offensively, what does he bring to the table? Like, I've always, like, really, when I look at him,
he's the ultimate garbage pail guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like but where his draft status was, and this is, I guess, I look at his draft status, because when I think your top five, you know, top tier pick, he came out of Kentucky, was deemed to be one of the better players coming out in the country. And when I look at him, I'm like, this is it? Like, when you're that, I'm feeling like you got to give me 20. I get being a defensive rebounder, but you got to give me 20. And you can't, like, I don't look at you and getting me 20. So for them trading him, I feel like I can give me a Noel. I can give me a dude like that. But it's hard to find an offensive big who can play in the post. And Wesley can play in the – and Okafor can play in the post. I mean, but I agree with you. He's a lazy defender. I will never take that up. I'm not going to argue that point. As a defender, he's lazy as you know what. But I think there's things that you can do so you can mask it.
He's lazy as HE level hockey stick.
James, we had a season last year. James Harden looked like one of the laziest people ever played.
No, God.
Ever.
We ripped Harden all season long. People ripped him. Huggo.
He's skilled, though. Go ahead.
I know the NBA is kind of your weakest subject, being that, you know, you're not African-American and you can't jump.
I still love it. I still love it, though.
Shots fired. Shots. We need a gunshot. Micah, get on that. Gunshots fired. We need that sound bite. But seriously, nothing happens in the NBA right now. Boogie Cousins talking about that on Monday. Bigger news, Ben Simmons not playing for the Sixers. Are you surprised? I won't lie. I am. It was a possibility of him not playing, but I thought maybe Hugo he would play for the Sixers this year. Were you surprised when that news came down that the number one pick in the draft would not be playing this year?
Well, I mean, he's not playing because of a foot injury, right? And it kept catching up for the rest of the season. I mean,
his foot's probably healthy. Let's be honest.
unless it's some sort of conspiracy theory there. I mean, at the end of the day, maybe he is injured. You don't know that, Mike. But him being the number one draft pick, absolutely. And it really does surprise me that he's not playing for the 76ers for the rest of the season. One thing I wanted to say, though, really quick, Wally, doesn't Carmelo Anthony, though, coming out of New York, doesn't he not have a no-trade clause on his contract when he signed last year?
It's up to him.
So that's another reason. I think that's another reason why New York, it makes sense to trade him out, but he has to go to a team that's title contending worthy. And obviously we know in January with the whole Kevin Love, that they were talking about Kevin Love going over to New York and then getting it back. But, I mean, it has to make sense as well. In the New York Knicks business, I honestly do believe that you are going to see Carmelo Anthony, but it will be at the end of the season when they're finally able to move him out of New York. Because I think right now, mid-season, there's not too many contenders that could take him, as well as his price tag as well that is put on Carmelo Anthony as well. So I think no trade clause, honestly, that he signed last year, I think they came back and bit Phil Jackson in the foot. Not able to trade him out to another team. So that's the other one. But the biggest one, though, Mike, that I thought it was huge, and it wasn't even a player, and I don't know if you guys talked about it on Wednesday, was the Los Angeles Lakers firing both Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak and bringing in Magic Johnson over. I think that is huge for the Los Angeles Lakers, Mike.
It is huge, and I'm glad you brought that back up, and I get in that in 1 second. Micah, it did come down from a Knicks insider that he was willing to waive his no-trade clause depending on if it was a contender. And probably probably the right contender did not make the right move. But to touch that subject of what Huggle just brought up, and I know my mind. I'm all over the place. That's such a good day today, guys. My mind is in 50,000 different directions. Wally's Lakers picked up to him the greatest basketball player of all time, and Irving Magic Johnson is now the president of basketball operations. And I will say this much. No team in the NBA outside of the Lakers and the Boston Celtics look as good, in my opinion. I don't care about the Golden State Warriors, where they are right now. I'm talking about the future. When you bring in a guy like Magic Johnson, who's respected, who is a player's guy, Phil Jackson, we can't honestly say he was really a player's coach. You know what I mean? Let's be honest here. He coached Mike. He was good at dealing with ego. Right. But being what he is now, I think this is the perfect fit for Magic Johnson. I've already heard rumors that he's already made the call to Kobe Bryant. I'm not sure how definitely Wally feels about that. And I don't think a lot of players want to deal with Kobe right now, honestly, in my opinion. That should be a hire maybe 4 or 5 years down the line. But I think right now the Lakers and the Celtics with Magic Johnson and Danny Ainge are looking picture perfect for the future. And I do see someone like a Paul George, like a Boogie. I see 2 to 3 big stars coming to L.A. in the next 2 years. That's my thoughts on that one. Yours, Wally, that is your team.
He reached out to Kobe. Kobe is more busy with his branding purposes, so Kobe won't be in the organization.
Why do you sound so disappointed with that?
No, I'm good with that. I know, and my memory serves correctly. I mean, Kobe's agent, though, is aligned to be the general manager for the Los Angeles Lakers. That if you wanted your Kobe connection, you got it there. I think, you know, we've seen it with Michael Jordan in his situation, as, you know, a player, a VP of a team, or, you know, general manager, whatever you want to call it. what he did with the Wizards and Charlotte and whatnot, you know, and it wasn't the best. For me to say that Magic Johnson's going to do a great job, I can't tell you that. You know what I mean?
Why can't you say that?
Because some of his decisions, I'm not really a big fan of right now. Like, even reaching out to Kobe Bryant was a bad decision. I mean, I just think that, you know, like, that just shows you, like, don't live in the moment. Use your basketball your basketball knowledge in terms of what you think can build a team. Don't worry about that type of stuff right now. Magic Johnson's smart enough as a basketball player, because he's been a part of winning basketball. To say, you know what, we need.
So you don't see any top free agents coming in? You don't see that him being in place attracts that star?
First. This is the thing. They got to draft first. They got to draft well first. Because we're in, and I had this discussion with somebody else, it's not just good enough to say, you know what, you're leading our organization, so people are going to come here now. That's not good enough. Nowadays, players, it's not about the venue. It's about, do they have a chance to win or who they can play with? So what Magic Johnson has to do is bring in a culture of good basketball players or up-and-coming young talent. And if he can do that, if he can get the right draft pick, that if Ingram starts the ball, that's it. I mean, I'm not a fan of Russ. I don't think Russell's going to be that good. But if some of these young guys, whoever they draft in this draft, like, this is an important draft too. You have a lot of superstar talent in this draft. If they draft the right player, and that player balls his rookie year, then you're going to have people. So you know what? The Lakers look sexy. This is the Lakers. This is L.A., and they got the players too. They got a young up-and-coming roster. They got management.
You know that saying, with all due respect, right?
Yeah.
I like to say that because I mean, I can say something really ignorant after it, and you can't get mad because I say it with all due respect.
Yeah.
That's you as a fan, and I respect it. And it's, in my opinion, looking at the glass half full. Because I said this when it came to Carmelo, and I know they didn't pull Carmelo off. I said this when it came to LaMarcus Aldridge, and I know that didn't come through. Okay, and we know that Dwight Howard didn't sign. And a lot of fans, a lot of analysts like myself felt that Kobe was the reason behind that. L.A. is still the place like New York. The problem with New York is Phil Jackson's alienating his team, his players. Magic Johnson so far doesn't have that on him. L.A. is one of the most biggest destination spots for free agents and just for people in general. I think that but putting someone like Magic Johnson in place, like you said, you already got young pieces. Of course, you got to give it time. I'm looking at the bigger picture here, and I think it works out perfect in L.A. for him and that organization moving forward. 347-637-3859 is the question. Now, just to turn heads a little bit, stand here in the NBA for a little bit longer. Kevin Durant ripped Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal yet again is at it with JaVale McGee, I guess, over the Shaq and the Fool nonsense that's going on, as well as Draymond Green trolling the truth, Paul George, and saying, Draymond Green, to Pierce, chasing the farewell tour, they don't love you like that. You thought you was Kobe? And then Paul Pierce responds with 73 and thought he was going to win a title that year.
I like that.
3-1 lead. Oops. Is Draymond Green wrong for coming in a future Hall of Famer, according to CBS and a lot of other polls out there, a top 50 player of all time? Or is he okay to do this, Michael?
Look, you already know what you're doing when you start with me when it comes to Draymond Green. And the only time where I would ever give him a problem is when he stepped up.
No, exactly. You're trying to start with someone who's going to be angry about it. First of all, let me tell you something about this Draymond Green character, all right?
The character of Draymond Green is fantastic if you need a heel in WWE. The character of Draymond Green, when it comes to on the court and how he could probably fire up his teammates when he gets technicals on purpose, very good for his team. You know, last night we saw, you know, he got a little chippy and, you know, they dropped 50 in the third quarter. But they can drop 50 in a quarter if they wanted to because they're just that good. What I don't like is that the dude's not even on the court and he's talking trash to him. Granted, Paul Pierce probably, because we know Paul Pierce's history.
He should have retired
2 years
ago. 2 years ago, yeah, when Paul Pierce should have retired. Like,
Paul Pierce is one of those dudes that, you know, he should have went away when Kevin Garnett went away. It was just logical, you know, to do so. You should have just. When you saw that thing happen in Brooklyn, that was your time to be like, you know what, I shouldn't do this anymore. But he keeps on doing it to himself, so whatever. But Draymond Green talking to somebody of Paul Pierce's caliber as if he's like some kind of dynamic game changer of a player, you know, he needs to go ahead and slow his roll because Draymond Green is not even the same class of player that Paul Pierce is in. In fact, without Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, no one will know who Draymond Green is. And that's my honest opinion when it comes to that. Not to say that he ain't got a game, not to say that he doesn't work well with that system, but at the end of the day, you sitting there talking trash to a top 50 GOAT player, and you probably haven't even broken into 100 yet, into the top 100 yourself. And, you know, Paul Pierce's comeback was the best comeback ever because, like, there's no trash on that any Golden State Warriors can play, can put on anybody when it comes to that. Blowing that 3-1 lead and being the only team in history to do it. That will forever be on them. So any trash talk has to come with a grain of salt. He needs like he should have just kicked him in the balls again because that would have been a little bit more impactful than talking trash when you know. But, you know, once again, I can't say that it was Draymond Green's fault why they lost that game 7 because he balled out. So I still have to make sure that caveat's there. He's the one that balled out. But Draymond Green is just – I'm trying to figure out who I hate more, John Cena or Draymond Green.
Well, you can let that pause and marinate and don't be hating on Cena. Hugo, I'm not liking Draymond either because it's like picking on, you know, a legend that you know's been already put out the pasture. He's been all yellowed, if you will, so to speak, right now. So him picking on Paul Pierce to me is really a sucker move. And I honestly like Draymond. I like his heart, the way he plays. I don't, you know what I mean? That makes any how Draymond Green plays basketball to me for a guy of my limited athletic ability, like some other great guys in the world that play basketball, I compare myself to Draymond Green on the basketball. I was a hustle, gritty player that got underneath the skin of my opponents. That was my job, Charles Oakley-ish, if you will, so to speak. I don't mind what he's doing. Just picking on Paul Pierce to me, I think is a little bit too far. Your take on that, Hugo, or your take on the Shaq and a Fool versus JaVale McGee?
It was totally out of context what Draymond Green did. I mean, you know, this is a guy that's he's trying to retire. Yes, he's no Kobe Bryant or whatever, but he's still a prolific player. But what I love was Paul Pierce's response, though, on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it when he said 73 wins and you thought he was going to win the title that year and then put the correct emojis, the crying emojis, 3-1 lead, oops. I love that, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, why not, you know, why not poke fun also at the Bear as well? But then you had fans also backing up what Draymond Green did on Twitter, and they say, well, you blew a 3-2 lead to the Lakers. Well, let me tell you something. It was a 3-2 lead. It wasn't a 3-1 lead like Draymond Green did. If he wasn't
one of the best teams in history, you know, arguably,
exactly.
You know, also.
Exactly, man. So you know what, man? At the end of the day, listen, Draymond Green, I think he might be the reason why the Golden State Warriors, if they don't win a chip this year, it's because of Draymond Green again. Because you know he's going to continue his antics. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I would love to see that happen. I hope Draymond Green once again ruins the chances for the Warriors to win another chip. And it's and when it comes to the Shaq thing, man, let him just swear up on TNT. Shout out to Ronnie. He said that on Twitter. You know, let him just swear up on TNT and get it over with. Because It's just stupid, man. But
listen, the fact that I already called you non-black and said you couldn't jump, and then you come out with and say, let him score up, I apologize, Hugo. You have so much soul. My brother sitting to the left of me because we're going to WrestleMania, baby!
I'm your adopted little brother. Come on, Mike. You already know that.
Wally, your take on this mess in the NBA right now. I don't care about the NBA. It's fantastic. At least it has been the last 7 days.
Draymond Green's a joke. It's like, let me put it this way. Paul Pierce in his career has been a Batman. It's like Robin's best friend talking to Paul Pierce. That's how I look at it. It's Robin's best, because he's not even a Robin. Like, Draymond Green, not even a Robin. He's not even a Robin. He's Robin's best friend. So you're talking to Batman. Stop it. It's insulting. It's insulting. If I'm Paul Pierce, I'm not even acknowledging this dude. Like, this dude is, to me, you're a good ball player. Like, let it be there. Let that be known. You're a good ball player. But you ain't Paul Pierce. You ain't Paul Pierce. That's like, now you ride somebody else's job. Let's put it this way. Let's put Let's use it to what JaVale McGee was saying to Shaq. You ride somebody else's job. You're not even talking about your own merit. You're talking about another dude's merit. You're not good enough to talk about Paul Pierce. You got to use another man to talk about Paul Pierce. You soft. Off that, you soft.
Shots.
I mean, that's what I look at it. If you can't, if you're going to go on me, if you're going to go on me, if that's what you want to do, then talk about me and compare yourself to me. But you use another man to talk about me? Oh, man, you know, you ain't nobody to me. You ain't nobody to me. So that's how the Draymond Green situation. And it's a JaVale McGee. I actually, and I'm a Shaq guy. I love Shaq's game, and I'm a Shaq dude, period. But I do feel what JaVale McGee said and what he said about Shaq. Is like, dude, you expected me to be quiet? You've been going on me for how many years? You expect me to be quiet? So I understand where JaVale McGee was coming from. I think anybody who clowns JaVale McGee for going at Shaq, the dude's a man first. Like, he's a man first. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, Shaq has pretty much insulted this dude for a while. I don't see any problem with JaVale McGee saying about Shaq. I mean, I'm coming back and defending himself, put it that way, took it to that level. You know, again, I respect Shaq. I love Shaq, but he's a grown-ass man. You don't need to talk like that. Like, you a grown man. Like, JaVale McGee is JaVale McGee. Everybody knows JaVale McGee. So he's a young boy who acts immature, but you Shaq, man. You grown. It's like,
you're a Hall of Famer.
You don't go that level. You don't go to that level. You can say some things, but you don't go to that level. And I guess that was where I was, like, surprised about more. It's like, come on, Shaq, man. You Shaq. You are an iconic figure in the NBA. JaVale McGee ain't nobody compared to you. But you do have to understand, if you're Shaq, where JaVale McGee is coming from. You got to understand, like, all right, man, you've been insulting me as a basketball player for how long? And now, you know, I mean, I got to say something eventually. I'm not going to be quiet forever. So I get it. But I get it on both sides, but I just feel like, one, JaVale McGee had to stand up for himself eventually. You can't keep going that route. And I do, and on Shaq's side, you got to be grown. Like, you got to be grown. But I know you want to respond, but you got to do it in a different way.
Well, what did King Vaughn just say? Shaq is 45 years old and talks like that. Think about that for a second.
Yeah,
you know
that's real.
And not only is that real, it's so honestly real, because when you watch the show and I look at Shaq, and like you said, I'm a Shaq fan and I try to like him. He's funny. And even when he goes at Charles sometimes, I think it's funny. But I always think, dang, Shaq, you got to make everybody feel a little bit shorter. Like, you're already 7'3", bro. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you act like you have a Napoleonic complex when you're the one taller than everybody else. You always think I'm going to put somebody else down. No, think about it. Every time you hear Shaq, he's always dogging somebody or putting someone down, and he thinks it's all a joke because he's 7'3".
That's what he does, but it's always funny when he goes up to Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley already dealt with him professionally many times. So I always laugh when he goes at Charles Barkley, because so I'm sitting there like this. Like, you can say what you want, Shaq, but we all have the video footage of how your big old 7-foot self got dealt with by Chuck. So Chunky Barkley, as he is now, old donut snacking Barkley, can still take you because he's just like the way they say, he's a man about his, and you just big. All right.
Well, let's get ready, guys, and do what I like to do better, our favorite portion of a Friday, and that is lock up this weekend, because there's a lot of things going on this weekend, including the Daytona 500. Yes, I'm a black guy who watches NASCAR, okay? Don't judge me. Yes, I watch NASCAR. The NBA is back, as well as friend of program Deontay Wilder is fighting on the card. Let's lock it up, fellas.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
You better lock it up.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up.
Lock it up.
Lock it up.
Let's start right there where we're going to replay his interview before the show is over right now. Deontay Wilder, friend of the program, taking on Gerald Washington on PBC on Fox. That starts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The undisputed WBO champion will start his quest to unify the titles starting tomorrow night. Gerald Washington, pretty big guy, 6'6". He has a reach advantage, almost a coaching advantage, but he's an orthodox fighter like himself, 34 years old, relatively up and unknown, shall I say. Goes by the name of El Gallo Negro, whatever the heck that means. I know what El Negro means, but what's the El Gallo part? Am I missing something there? Help me out in my Spanish.
Say, do you say El Gato Negro?
No, El Gallo Negro.
Okay, I don't know what Gallo means, Hugo.
Right.
Because if you say Gato, that would have been the black cat, but, you know, I don't know what Gallo means.
Right.
Gallo means rooster. Gallo means rooster, by the way.
The black cock is pretty much what he calls himself. All right. We got the black cock going against the bronze bomber. Who you got this fight, Hugo?
Okay. I gotta go for Wilder, man. Wilder's on something, man. He's on his quest to unify the titles. I'm gonna go in and lock it up. But I think it's gonna go into decision because Gerald Washington's no pushover, man. No pushover. But I gotta take our boy Deontay Wilder. He's just too good, man. He's been ever since he beat what's his name, Stervine. I keep forgetting my boy's name.
That's your job. Pronouncing the names, damn it.
But ever since then, man, Wilder has definitely he's been my man, man. And there's no way that he should lose this fight. I'm gonna go with him for decision. You know,
Stavern is his name. Who you got in this one, Wally?
Oh, I got Deontay. Easy. That's easy money.
Any roundage? Decision knockout?
Oh, he deboing him. Probably fourth round. Deboing him.
Ooh, fourth round. Micah, what you got?
Just pause. Anyway.
Oh, I'm not, that's not coming to my mouth. Pause.
Now you got me feeling some kind of way. I can't even talk about my own. But moving on.
We got to go with the friend of the program, not just because he's a friend of the program, but because of what his record says. I mean, you are who your record says you are, and from what I see, the majority of his fights, he won by knockout. So he's undefeated, and the majority of his fights, all but one are knockouts. So let's call this knockout 37, okay? So he's going to knock this guy out, too. The gentleman refers, it may not be a pushover, but you know, once again, it's a matter of just who you fight in the matchup and things like that. If you're going against a guy who's used to knocking people out, you're probably going to get knocked out. So I'm going to go Deontay or Wilder by knockout. I will give the brother a little bit, though. I say he'll get knocked out no earlier than round six.
All Mike, right. Really quick, let me just say, Mike, let me just say something really quick.
Lock it up.
I want to say something. Yeah, no push around Gerald Washington because at the end of the day, he does have 18 wins with 12 knockouts. So about him not used to be able to knock out people, Gerald Washington can knock you out too. It's that he's just less known than Deontay, but Deontay is a beast. That's why I'm going with Deontay, but he's no pushover, man. Washington's no pushover.
And he actually called for a knockout early in his fight. He said he sees something in Deontay's defense. And we spoke to Deontay. You'll hear the interview after we're done here with Lock It Up, where Deontay says he's not going to change anything, that he thinks that fighters should change to his style and try to do that. And honestly, I disagree with that. And y'all guys know I've been a very big component of Deontay, and I'm going to go ahead and lock him up winning this fight.
You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up.
And I'm going to take him in a late rounder. I'm with you, Mike. I think somewhere around the seventh, eighth, ninth round, knockout with him. It's a big question about how that hand's going to take in this fight. And also, I do know that Washington is heavy-handed. I've watched a couple of his knockouts on TV, and the guy's heavy-handed. And one thing I know about Deontay, being the fan of him, being someone who wants him to be great, is I'm subject to his chin and how great it really is. I go back to that fight about three fights ago he had. I forget the guy's name, where he got really hurt in that fight. And I remember being on the phone with Jay Chris, who's at baseball practice right now, and I said, yo, man, if that was someone of a Klitschko's ilk who would have pressed the issue there, he might have lost that fight. So it'd be interesting to see if he does get hurt tomorrow in this fight, if he does get hit hard, how he reacts to it. I think if he does win this fight in impressive fashion, I think sky's the limits for him with moving on. Also this weekend, we got the NBA is on tilt. Tonight, we got the Wizards taking on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia. We got Memphis and Indiana. And we're going to lock those few up right then. And we also got the Saturday night game, Cleveland versus Chicago. I'm going to take Chicago to beat Cleveland. And guess what, Wally? I'm taking Philly to beat Washington tonight. Lock it up. What you got in those games, Wally?
Lock it up. You got those games. You lock it up. Lock it up.
Well, I mean, I got easy. I mean, I got the Wizards. They're one of the better teams in basketball right now. I think the NBA power rankings got them like full. So I got the Wizards over the Sixers. And you said who's Cleveland playing?
Cleveland plays the Bulls tomorrow night without Taj Gibson and Vic Buckets. I changed my pick. I forgot. Lock up Cleveland.
You better lock it up.
Yeah, give me lock up Cleveland. Easy. You get that easy money
lock
right
it up.
It's called easy money too. That's easy money.
Unless
LeBron don't want to play, then it's not easy money.
Listen, Jay Chris was flipping out on the Sixers trade last night. That's all I'm going to say. He hates Andrew Bogut with a passion.
Oh, man, but she liked it. That's actually, you know what? The reason why Sixers should like that trade, once Ben Simmons plays next season, combined with the draft pick and what Embiid's doing and Okafor, you actually got a role player. And, oh, man, they looking like they looking mean next year. Let that be known. Next year, the Sixers will be a problem, a serious problem.
Wally Urban Sports Scene on the Twitter just said the Sixers next year will be a problem. And I locked it up for him because he's locking it up himself.
Yes.
Michael, Wizards, Philadelphia tonight. Who you got?
Easy. Washington Wizards, one of the best teams in the East.
Stuff. I know that.
Some things just easy to look at. It's Washington Wizards. Like, they've been balling this season. They've been playing in good teams. So, you know, the 76ers is not a good team.
They got 21 wins, damn it. They haven't had 21 wins in 2-3 years combined.
Yeah, you're right.
They haven't had 21 wins in how many years?
3 years combined.
God. Wait. Trust the process.
Trust the process. All right, I'm going to go ahead on something real crazy and strange right now. I'm calling on you to imagine this right here. Who besides me think they can lock up the Daytona 500 that takes place this Sunday at 1 o'clock on Fox? Am I the only black person here that watches NASCAR? Really? Ruler? And Micah, I'm a little disappointed because he's country. He's country black. So he should be watching.
Ain't country black. Ain't nobody
you
know, any country.
I'm sorry, you're from Virginia.
Yeah, no. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. We may be a southern type town, but we are not that country. Not in Richmond, anyway. We try our best to be like D.C., but we can't make it.
All right, well, in that case, I'm going with the pollster, the number one driver right now. I'm looking for Danny Hamlin. Nope. I don't want Hamlin. I want Earnhardt because it's always good when Earnhardt wins something. But I'm going to go with Casey Kane. There it is. I'm going with Casey Kane to win the Daytona. Vaughn, I need that tweeted. Mike Knox just said Casey Kane is winning the Daytona 500. You hear me? Casey Kane. All right? That's K-A-S-E-Y. K-H-N-E. Yeah, he has an H in his name. K-H-N-E. Casey Kane to win the Daytona 500 tomorrow. And damn it. You know what? I'm going to lock it up because it should be locked up. Lock it up!
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up.
We don't have UFC this weekend, do we, Hugo?
No UFC, but Tyron Woodley next weekend. I can't wait to do that show next Friday, yeah, man.
Friend of the program, Tyron Woodley, will be fighting next weekend. GSP announces he's coming out of retirement. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
God. Yeah, that was your boy, too. And that was your boy, too. Didn't you think he was one of the greatest or the greatest in the world?
I
some
really
people
do.
Some people say he's going to fight Tyron Woodley.
GSP, in his prime, is a top three UFC fighter of all time in his prime. But his last two fights, not his prime, you know. I'm one who said he lost his last fight even though he won against Fat Boy, who ain't been in shape since that fight, Hendricks.
Yeah.
Honest, I thought Hendricks won that fight, but they didn't give it to him. And as Dana Dickhouse White would always say, you don't beat a champion, you take the championship from the champion. But hey, guys, we're gonna get out of here early. We're gonna replay the interview we had with Deontay Wilder. I want you guys to have a phenomenal weekend. We'll see you on Monday as we get ready for our road, because me and Hugo are going to WrestleMania. Listen, We'll check y'all next week. Same back time, same back channel, y'all. Deontay Wilder, heavyweight champion of the world, right here, Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. We out of here, y'all. Fingers.
This is the Soul of Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's Barbershop Talk. Still, we think outside the...
Welcome, everybody, back to the best damn show in radio right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Right here, the Soul in Sports. And I told you guys before, this is the show, the pros and the icons. And today, the champs. Listen to why we've had UFC champions, we've had wrestling champions, but today, people, we're going to take it back to what it means in this country the most. We got the world heavyweight boxing champion of the world. That's only one I'm going to recognize because he's my champion, the United States champion, the Bronze Bomber himself, Deontay Wilder. What's going on, champ?
Much blessed, man. How about yourself?
I am blessed, and thank you for joining the program today. How is training going? Let's just jump right into it, champ.
Training is going great. You know, I can't wait for February the 25th. I'm looking forward to only a couple of weeks away. You know, this is my my welcome back fight after my injury where I tore my bicep and I broke my hand. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm back to my element. I'm back to why I call my baby, you know. I'm in love with boxing, so I'm back in the mix of everything. I'm super excited.
There, you know what? I can hear it in the sound of your voice, and that's right, guys. It's going down February 25th. The champ, as he's celebrating almost now over 2 years at being your heavyweight boxing champion of the world. But it's going down. He got an opponent out here. This guy, Washington, he's a big boy, 33-1. You know what I'm saying? He's ready for action. He got a lot of mouth right now, champ, talking things like, you know, he's going to knock you out. We know those are things that fighters supposed to say. They should want to feel that way. What do you hear when someone like that says they're just coming out the door to knock your block off, champ?
Well, like you just said, they're supposed to say something. They're supposed to have things to say. If they didn't, then that would make a record to the fans and stuff like that. You know, Tyson, whoever. Everybody has a game plan until they get hit. And, you know, and I abide by that, you know, because I know a lot of guys, you know,
champ,
to the night of the fight,
and
we'll really see who bags up what talk.
Well, bagging up what talk is what got you to the dance. 37-0, 36 knockouts. Like you said, you went through the injury, champ. You overcome that. You won the fight, in my opinion, from what I saw, with one hand and beating Areola. Deontay,
I think you guys just lost him. Let me see if I can get him back.
Okay.
Hang on.
We had a bad connection from the beginning, Tim.
Had a bad connection. Okay, let me see if I can get him back.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Deontay back. Can you guys
hear? Yes, sir. I'm here. Hey, champ, good to have you back. A little bad connection that happens in modern technology in this world. So we're going to move on with the interview. It definitely happens there. And we were asking about maybe once you after you take care of what the mandatory issue here on February 25th, live on Fox PBC Championship, will you be going to see this Klitschko, this Joshua fight in person to make your presence known there that you want the winner?
Well, I'm looking forward to trying to clear my schedule so I can definitely be there in person to attend that fight. I would love the winner of that fight, but that's probably going to be somewhere around the end of the year. I think they got obligations to fulfill after whoever wins this fight. So that leads me to say that I'm looking forward to going after the WBO title, whether that's Heber Fury or the Joseph Parker guy. You know, Joseph Parker people contacted me before talking about fighting and stuff like that. I don't know if they renege now on it or what. You know, maybe they overload their mouth already too early to talking about a fight. Now they're talking about something else. I don't know, but I'll be trying to go after that one for sure. And at the end of the year, we're looking like we can unify the division once and for all.
See, that's what I'm liking right there, champ, because, I mean, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a boxing fan. I'm a sports fan in general. So when I look at boxing, I look at sports at all the same as, like, wrestling is storyline, everything's storyline. And that just paints a perfect storyline to you going to get that title. To this question, champ, with all the hype behind MMA and boxing, I know I'm on record for saying that I think maybe boxing should get rid of all the promotions that they have. So this way we can get the fights that we want. Are you in favor of boxing being the way it is with the way the promoters are, or maybe having, say, boxers have like their own union sort of to be kind of uniform like UFC where they're giving people the fights they want to see?
Say that last part again. Say that one more time.
You know, kind of being like how Dana Dickhouse White, and that's really what his T-shirt said, promoting where they get the fights that the fans want to see, as opposed to having to go through all the different hoops and ladders of promoters, and maybe that way boxers getting back more control.
Oh no, that's good. I don't see that happening no time soon. I mean, mm-hmm. boxing has been ran how it's been ran for years and years to come. You know, boxing is definitely a business. It's business first over everything, and certain fights is not meant to happen at certain times. All things are meant to happen at the right amount of time. You know, certain fights can be, you know, it may seem right at this moment, but maybe six months to a year on down the line, it's even a bigger and better fight, especially if they keep winning. So now not only do you double the popularity of the fight or the hype of the fight, you also doubled the money of the fight as well, too. And really, that's what the big thing is about. Everybody wants
right.
the money part of it. You know, if you fought, just say me and Tyson Fury right now, you know, and I say Tyson Fury because me and him been promoting our fight for 4 years. So
right.
people still want to see that. If me and him would have fought early on in our career, then, you know, we're basically just beating for the fans, and we fight for peanuts, you know. And it should never be like that. As a fighter, we always want to get what we feel that we deserve. This is the hurt business. This is the
Absolutely.
Knock your head off your shoulder business. This is
right.
the business where you can get in the ring and you don't know if you're going to get out the same. This business right here have took many fighters' lives. So when fans come around, especially the casual fans, the ones that don't know what the hell's going on, you know,
uh-huh.
when they come back and see, oh, this fight, who? They don't even know the reason why. Some of them be so terrible that they don't even know what weight class the people in there and say, oh, you should fight Mayweather. You know, people just don't know what they're talking about, and they
right.
don't really understand the structure and the business of boxing. And but, you know, the thing about it, as a fighter, we do what we do. We have family, and we're going to put ourselves in the perfect position and spot to feed our family no matter what. No one may say, because this is one of the most hardest sport in the world. And if somebody can do
Absolutely.
What I do, I welcome them in the ring and show me the path. Show me how to do what I do. If you can do it better than me, please.
Then come
show
on.
Me.
Then come on. Like why not get paid the way NFL players and NBA players and your guys in sport? Like you just said, it's a brutal game. I mean, if boxing was easy, everybody would be doing it. And I think most people are playing basketball these days and they are trying out boxing. That's for damn sure, champ. A couple more questions. Like I said, I do know you're in the airport. Go ahead.
So almost definitely. Nobody wants to step in the ring. You know, that's why everybody respects a fighter. They respect a champion because they know that they can't do this. Everybody wants to be able to fight and defend themselves. But when you actually born to be able to do it, it's a different thing. I'm a different breed. You know, come on, everybody's going to respect me because of who I am, because I'm able to use my hands well. You know
right.
what I mean? You know, everybody's got opinions around the world, and I think that's
of course.
The world go around. You know, so you have to slip the punches, what come your way, all the negativity, and continue to be up for what you're doing, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for your family. Unfortunately, I have 4 kids. I'm doing it for them no matter what nobody else may say. If I'm gone, who's going to take care of my family?
Absolutely.
You know, so, hey.
What's going on, champ? Man, an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, man. Thanks for doing this. I had a few questions for you. You've been the champ since January 15, 2015, just over 2 years now. And this is your fourth title defense in Alabama. Can you speak to what this means to you, fighting in Alabama, being the champion, what this means to you and what this means to the people of Alabama?
Man, to me, it's just to me, it's a true story come true. You know, to me, I remember sitting back and it was a discussion. And then it became a dream. And the dream came true and it turned into a reality. So, you know, just in that order, you know, I remember when we didn't even have a commission back in the state of Alabama where you couldn't even have professional friendship bouts there. So I made it my business in 2009 to get that commission where I can stay home and I can develop myself at home where I made it from. Why move if I made it there? Many people tried to draw me away from Alabama. Many, even countries tried to get me out of there and say, you would be the next every chef of the world, they told me. And they tried to get me out of there. But, you know, the saying is, if it's not broke, then why fix it? So I chose to stay at home. I saw opportunity where I could develop not only myself, but these younger guys that's coming up, that's trying to be the next Deontay Wilder or the next whoever their favorite fighter is or whoever to look up to feel like they can be successful, that follow their guidelines of what they've done to be successful as well, too. So, you know, I'm building for my people. I'm building for the guys that's there in my state of Alabama. And, you know, like I said, dreams actually come true. You know, we just have to stay patient, we have to believe in God, and we have to have the determination and the motivation to succeed. Sometimes Amen. Things may get in our way, stop stirring. You know, you may have a hurdle, you have to jump over a fire, you may have to go through. But you believe, you say, God said, they not coming when you want it, but it's right on time. And everything that happened in my life, that came right on time. And for the people of Alabama, they love me. They love, they say, well, that's Alabama football, that's Deontay Wilder, and this is a worldwide sport. So yes. Now I'm bringing the world to Alabama, where we didn't have so many people stereotype the state, that's not good. Even really knowing about what's there, but only hearing about things besides seeing it for themselves. They judge before even seeing. And now they get an opportunity to have a reason to come down. Who don't want to go to a world, see the most dangerous man in the heavyweight division defending his title over again? You know, each fight I get in, it's always exciting. I'm always excited. So for the people, it means a lot to them. You know, I've had so many mixed emotions about the people when it's concerning this boxing thing and the development that has came. For me, just bringing title defenses, as a title, and you know, true fact, Alabama lead out of everybody in the nation with heavyweight title fights. You know, and I'm proud to have it in my state. You know, many people wanted to have, many people would have never dreamt of having a world title fight back in Alabama, and this is the fourth time I'm doing it. So they get it twice over and over again, you know. And I just love my state. And why not feed my state? If I can do it, why not feed my people back home, you know, first, and then go elsewhere, then come back and feed my people. They love it. So, you know, if they're happy, I'm happy.
I love it, man. That's I can hear your passion for the state of Alabama.
Absolutely.
And Luis Ortiz, King Kong, what you think about him?
Luis Ortiz is an average guy to me. You know, a lot of people hype him up because of his aggressive style that he comes into the ring. But I know the Cuban style very well and what he is, you know, which, you know, I would love to fight him soon. Once I do what I got to do, you know, my thing is I want belts, you know, and I ain't playing around with that. I want belts, and that's what I'm aiming for. So when that time comes, me and him will definitely fight. And like I said before, you know, sometimes things don't supposed to happen right now. It's the build. So the more they build up, the more he keep winning, the more excitement happens, it's going to happen. And when it does happen, we're going to make it worth both my wild and his wild.
I'm going to pay for it, so you don't believe that. So I pay for Floyd's $103 million fight. So I pay for yours. Don't worry about it, champ. I spend that money on fighters I like. So
about your opponent. He's taking this fight 18-1 undefeated, 18-0-1, excuse me, with 12 KOs. He packs a lot of power. This is his first title shot. And 2 years ago, you were in the same shoes as him. What is he feeling going into this fight's first title shot?
Other than trying to make a name for himself.
I'm going to assume that he would feel excited. I'm sure he feel blessed to have this opportunity, you know, especially early in his career like it is. You know, I remember being ready early in my career But I thank God that my card wasn't pulled because even though I said I was ready, I probably wouldn't have been ready. And while I was waiting, I was able to build more experience. I was able to see more things, more looks, more styles, because style makes fights. Period. Point blank and period. Style makes fight, no matter how good you are or you think you are. It's always somebody going to have that awkward style that makes your style look bad, or